Welcome back to FU Money. I am joined by my hosts, Mr. Dane Logan.
Hey, FU too, Hugh. Just kidding.
Oh, that's a great tackle.
I know. It's not bad.
Make sure you email us at hugh@hughcarnahan.com with taglines that you want to suggest.
Yeah, exactly.
So
we'll be back. And I noticed we're wearing the same clothes, so that's kind of weird. But
we are.
Let's carry on. Not you and I. I mean, in a previous episode.
Okay. Okay. I have no idea what you're talking about. Oh, man. Okay. So we are here on episode 3. And now we're getting into the meat and potatoes. And we're going to do all kinds of fancy, funny, crazy, epic stuff. Have some super crazy guests, some bad guests, some good guests, all kinds of stuff.
Before
we get there, maybe some guests. Yeah, some guests at all. But before we get there, it's like, where should we start? Like, Dane, if someone's like, I know nothing about money. I want to get started. Like, what's step one? Is it go out and buy a Porsche? Like, what is?
I mean, that would be awesome if that was step one, but no. And I think you and I talked a bit about this, and we really both agreed that tracking your finances, having some way to track your spending, seeing where the heck your money's going, because until you have visibility, you can't really start anywhere. It won't matter if you have a budget. It won't matter how much you make or where you're putting it or not putting it if you have no clue what your money's doing.
Okay. So that's an important one. So a lot of people say budgeting. You should jump straight to a budget. Why wouldn't you just do that?
Well, a budget's great unless you have no clue how you're spending your money, right? So if you can't even understand the basic flow once it hits the bank account and your habits and behaviors, and I'm saying this because my wife and I made this mistake. We had a budget for about 6 years. And you know how many times we used it? Zero. Yeah. Zero. And so, thank you, Middle East, for inventing zero, because it was very helpful for us. But at the end of the day, the budget didn't do anything for us because it was just a tool or mechanism out there. And sure, we'd look at it sometimes, but we never got good at tracking spending and tracking money.
Okay. And so how are you guys tracking that?
So funny enough, I mean, Kim's a former U.S. Navy officer, and so we are members of USAA, and USAA had a tracking mechanism, said you spent this much on food this month, and it gave you kind of like a high level, and I was like, wow, that's really cool. Maybe we'll use this at first. And a lot of banks offer this, by the way.
Just in your bank account when you log in, you just see it?
Yeah. It'll track monthly spending, and it will subdivide it into 5 or 6 categories, and that's a good place to start, because we were like, why is our food spending more than 40% of our overall income, right? And it was like an eye-opening experience. And granted, we used to like to eat out a lot and we traveled a lot, but you should never be at 40% of your income moving towards that category. And so seeing categories helped where we were already doing. The bad habits that were already ingrained and some of the good ones. And that's when we were able to then get real about a budget.
I'm thinking of a specific one and I'll see if you can remember it, but what's a hilarious habit that you discovered when you first started tracking? Because I remember having the conversation about this with you.
I think I know where you're getting at. And this is when Kim finally moved to Missouri and we were kind of sitting down going over our finances. And she goes, what the hell do you keep going to Brahms and Andy's for? Like, it was daily. Is that what you're
doing? What is Andy's? And what is Brahms?
Andy's is like a frozen custard place that's local to here. And it's so good. So good. And Brahms is also kind of like a local food place. And my spending daily looked like Brahms and Andy's to the point where it was a hefty amount of money I was spending there.
Wasn't it like $800 a month you were spending? An ice cream place.
It was up there. And, everyone's like, how are you not a huge fat guy? But it was so good. And since then, I have pulled back to Andy's maybe once a month. So I'm a recovering Andy's addict.
Andy's addict. Well, on a serious note, too, like, I mean, I'm gonna put myself out of, 32-year-old Hugh. I'm going to put myself into a 22-year-old Hugh. I spent my money going out to bars, drinking, and that's fine. But I had no concept of it. So tracking becomes the first thing, right? Just if someone would have showed me when I was 22, hey, did you know you're spending $800 a month on, hitting the bars on Friday nights?
Yeah.
Then I probably would have been like, okay, well, can I do the same thing, right? for cheaper. Yeah. Can I go to the grocery store and buy a bottle for $20 instead of going to the bar? You know, can you pregame? Whatever it may be, but it comes down to tracking. So you guys, what tools did you, so outside of the USAA, was there any other tools, or that was a close, your bank kind of did it for you?
I mean, I have a Kim in my life. And so once we became uniquely aware that I was spending $800 on ice cream and hamburgers, Kim said, absolutely not. And so it's nice to kind of have a partner who keeps you accountable, but also it was then daily looking into our accounts. And that wasn't a habit for us because we had disposable income before that. And so our thoughts were, well, we have enough money in there, so spend on what you want. And there was no tracking for years.
So I'm going to call it as it is, because I'm a very process-oriented, driven guy. You guys had no idea what was going on, but something was tracking something for you. Then you identified, hey, this spending is, because it was being tracked automatically, you then noticed a problem. And then now, in your case, Kim is helping hold you accountable. To say, hey, don't do that. But basically, it's, I was completely unaware. I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, because I had money in the bank, right, and I could spend. I could go out to, like you said, the bar. I could go out to food. And I never even thought to track it because I had money to spend.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that almost all Americans look at their bank account and they say, is there money in the bank account? Yes or no? Okay, if yes, then spend and buy the thing.
That was my tracking process. How did you know?
Because that was my tracking process for years and years.
Yeah.
Maybe some responsible people might have taken it one step further where they have two accounts, one account called bills, and then the other account has everything else. And that's where they have the quote, whatever. And then let's talk about what happens for savings accounts, right? What happens with people that have savings accounts?
If they use them, they're not making any money on them. And savings is more of just a temporary placeholder. It was for us where some money went into savings. And as soon as I wanted a thing that was
cool,
I just like, well, I have it in savings, and I would just spend it.
Right. So. We got to pay the credit card bill off for all this Andes. We'll just pull it.
Oh, I had great credit there. The joke was like all the credit card companies love me because I was great with managing credit. I had a score of like 800 something.
Right.
Because everything was on credit, and I would pay the credit cards, but not even think. It was, again, yes, no. Is it in the account? Is it available? And just spend.
Right. Right. Okay. So we're going to pull this back before we get into any other things. We're going to go to how do you track? If you're brand new, what are some tools you can use? So there's the good old pen and paper.
Yeah.
And my opinion, this is the least effective. However, some people love it. They have a physical board or they have something in their wallet or purse, and they're like, okay, I just spent money, pull it out and mark it down. And this was probably more common with maybe Gen Xers and up, where people used predominantly cash. In a cashless society where we're mainly credit cards now and debit cards, there's another way to do that. And you had already danced around one, which is great. I remember that because I also have USAA. And if we go way back in time, so like it also automatically tracked my stuff. But so many of our banks now just have the general categories. Now, one tool I would love to recommend that I can no longer is Mint. Mint was epic. It was awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
But it doesn't exist anymore. So I'm going to recommend.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Mint's gone. They shut it down. I think Intuit bought Credit Karma. And I think they're trying to push it to Credit Karma, but they lost a lot of the features.
Wow, that's news to me. I had no idea.
So what I liked about Mint, and I'm going to stop talking about Mint because it'll be the last time I say it. I'm going to recommend a few other ones. I'm going to just read a list because I have heard of some of them, and I'm only going to speak to the one that I've used before. So one is called Empower. I think it used to be called Personal Capital. It's called Empower.
Yeah.
And it tracks net worth, budgeting, automatic categories, and you can add investment accounts. And I know people are like, oh my God, I don't need to worry about investing. Like, don't worry about it. This tracks everything. So you have credit card debt, 10 grand, it goes in there as a negative. You have bank accounts, 5 grand, it goes in there as a positive. Net worth is negative 5 grand. If you have stocks, 401k, you can attach everything. And I think it's free. I'm pretty sure it's free. And it'll link to all your accounts and it automatically categorizes everything for you. And I think they make their money trying to upsell you on management services, which you do not need. And we're going to talk a lot about managing your own finances. If that intimidates you, it's because, first off, it shouldn't intimidate you, managing your own finances. It should not intimidate you because, but it sounds intimidating because the entire industry is set up to screw people over, take their money, manage it on your behalf so they can cut you to death from the million fees.
Yeah.
And hold on real quick. I'm going to share my screen real quick. And actually, I can't share my screen. I can't figure that out. But I'm going to read through a few here. So Empower is the one I just said. They also have Quicken, which is $3 to $8 a month. Rocket Money, I've heard of. It's free. I have never used it before. YNAB, you need a budget. I have heard that one. It's $100 a year.
Yep.
And YNAB, I think it used to be free. It's free for a month, it looks like. And basically, it allows you to budget everything. And even if you have one budget tracker, and there's Quicken, and then there's Monarch Money, which is $100 a year as well. I think Monarch Money, I know they're pushing big on a few other money podcasts. There's Good Budget and Every Dollar as well. Those two are free.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The main thing is it's not important. I don't want to – I can talk to my experience with Empower, but the main point is pick a account that you trust. Pick a service that you trust and start tracking. You can just do nothing else, right? If all you do right now, you pause the podcast, you get to empower.com. We're not paid by them, but you know, if you know someone who wants to pay us, you send them our way. We'll gladly take your sponsorship. But basically, you just start tracking your fees and you'll be shocked. You're going to find out, you know, Dane's eating $800 a month. Andy's, right?
Yeah. Check your Starbucks bill, by the way, for anyone who does Starbucks every day. It'll alarm you how much you're giving to that corporation that takes away from your household income.
And there's some Budgetista, I think Budgetista talks about it, or someone was like, I know Mindy Jensen was talking about it, where she was like, she realized that she was going to the grocery store every single day because she happened to drive past it. Well, I'm just going to go ahead and stop by and then just to grab this one thing. Well, while you're there, you could buy an extra two or three things. But you're stopping there every day. Now, all of a sudden, that's an extra 30% or 40% more than you would have spent. And it's like just being conscious, right? Before you even budget, before you even think about budgeting, don't worry about budgeting. Just track. That's the one thing I would do.
Yeah, because you have to create awareness. If you don't realize you have a problem and that one category is really, really out of balance compared to the rest, it doesn't matter really how great or sophisticated your budgeting may be. You have to be aware of what the problem is, right? Where's the root coming from? Why do we even have a budget? Because the other things are not, you know, coming in line with how you're living and how you're spending.
Okay. So Dane, the tracking is going to show you like how you're living and how you're spending, right? But what should you be looking at while you're reviewing those things?
For me, it was, we had to look at where we were in life, the lifestyle that we want to live, the behaviors in which we are and habits that we're adopting, and where we were negligent. So when I was looking at tracking, I was like, in my opinion, in my experience, I felt that it was irresponsible to spend $2,000 on food a month as a two-person couple, right? Or as a couple. That sounded weird. But a man and a wife.
No, you're spending from Utah.
let's be clear. I'm not advocating polygamy, but at the end of the day, two people eating that much, that's expensive. And even if with inflation, people are like, well, that's the cost of food. It is and it isn't. It just created awareness where we were just being irresponsible. So it didn't feel good. And it was hard because we didn't cook at home at the time. We ate every meal out, which is a common modern way that people live nowadays, by the way, which we really should talk about at some point.
I mean, I'm going to talk to some things. So like when you're reviewing just your tracking, again, you haven't even set a budget up yet. Don't think about what my budget should be. Think about what kind of life you want to live.
Yeah.
If you love to travel all the time, or you love, I don't know, motorcycles or something like that, and you're like, I want to do this road trip. And then you've realized that you're spending all your money buying in-app games, you know, skins for your character inside of League of Legends or something like that. You might be, is that taking away from what you want, right? Is your spending matching up with what your values are?
Right, right. Or your subscriptions, which you forget about. Holy crap. Oh, when you start diving into subscriptions, you will realize what a waste of money most of those are. But you're right. if all that spending is going to all these random things, you're losing out on where you actually want to put it. And I think, you know, Hugh, we joke around about you being cheap a lot. And I think I was giving you a hard time once because I was like, you're so cheap, but you'll spend an insane amount of money on either do's and haves or firearms or whatever. And it's because you were like, well, I'm consciously cheap. Yeah, allegedly. I am consciously cheap so that I have the money that I want to spend in the area that means a lot to you at the time, right? So that's something really good to look at as well. We were spending all this money on food instead of spending money on areas that Kim and I really wanted to be putting money.
Right. If you, and I will speak to that. So I, and it's exactly right. I am known for being cheap and I try to go to great lengths to save money on the things I don't care about. But I have the money when I do want to buy something. I'll buy whatever I want. Now I'll try to justify it or I'll save for it or I'll, you know, can I get a deal? But like you said, like for those of you that don't know what a deuce and a half is, it's a massive military truck that's awesome. And I believe every red-blooded American should own one. And if you're a European listening to this, you should own one too, because they're everywhere on the planet because the United States military leaves them everywhere that they've ever been. And
but you should only own one. I just want to be clear. Just own one.
Well, I may own four, but I think that's more excessive. But okay. You make a great point. Dane, you were just saying you and Kim, you love to travel, right? You guys love to travel and you were spending all your money on food. If you guys were, I can't remember, what's the name of the people who like eating food? It's like
foodies.
If you're a foodie and you're spending money on food and that's your happy place, then that's where you want to be spending your money. And then you can also just verify, is this in line with our values and do we want it? Or do we want to make changes, right? Maybe we're foodies, but we really want to make our own food. Well, where's our money going? Oh, well, we kept doing DoorDash. DoorDash and Uber Eats, like $50 to $70 for a two-person meal now. It's insane.
It's insane. Yeah.
$70 will buy me groceries, buy Nicole and I groceries for a week. And that's like the fancy pants store in town. And so we're buying the best groceries. It's organic and, you know, whatever. The cashiers have nose rings and whatnot. And I'd much rather have that food than the, you know, Uber Eats.
Well, you brought something up, though, that is valuable to you. So everyone on this podcast, I think, does need to hit pause and decide what is valuable to you in your life. We're not going to be on a moral tirade on this podcast by any means. What we're saying is simply, what do you value? And be aware of how your spending reflects that. And then maybe get smart on redirecting. Then your budget has a purpose. It has a meaning. Otherwise, it just is going to feel heavy. It's going to feel difficult. And you're not going to want to do it. Like Kim and I even paid, you're going to laugh, Hugh. I paid a financial coach, a budget coach. This was years ago, to help Kim and I learn to budget because I was that committed to doing it. And I spent like $2,000, by the way. And we had 6 months to work with this lady. And guess how often we actually use the budget after the time and the money invested?
Every day?
Again, zero. And the coach was getting so frustrated. And I was like, well, we have money in the bank. Yes or no? Can I buy? And the same habit and behavior, because we didn't align it with our morals. Not morals, our, what did you call it?
You naughty boy. Your values. No. What do you want?
Yeah, your values. Thank you. Our values. And that has since changed our entire approach to budgeting. Now we do money dates once a week and we actually get a lot of going over our finances. And my wife made budgeting sexy, which is awesome. And not that also could get weird. What I mean is she
very literal. And
yeah. And I guess I should be clear. She found a budget on Etsy that she could pay for, and it made our budget look sexy.
Okay. Speaking of, there is a website by Jay Money, and it's called Budgets Are Sexy, or Budgeting is Sexy. Hold on. Yeah, Budgets Are Sexy. And that's a great blog and website if you want inspiration and ideas. And to Dane's point, so it's what your values are. What I was going into is I was spending money because I was too lazy to eat. And so my answer was, should I eat healthy, good foods over that? That was because I figured out ways I'd rather spend the money on food being high quality than the convenience side of it. Now,
well, I do want to say, what was one of the things that you were famous for saying when I'd say, let's go to lunch?
Bagel Remember? Burgers.
Bagel burgers. Because Brahms bagel burgers had five burgers awesome. For $5. It is awesome. But it's every time we'd be like, hey, yeah, hey, you want to go to lunch? Bagel burgers would be the first thing. And we did that a lot. That's where a lot of my money went in the beginning.
I gained a lot of weight.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Did you feel healthy? I didn't feel healthy after about a month of doing that. I was like, we probably need a salad. And I remember saying, Hugh, I'm going to order a salad. And you're like, what? And I was like, yeah, Brahms has got salad. Actually, and then we went on a salad kick.
You guys can see this if you go to my YouTube channel, you know, whatever it's called. Probably it's probably called Hugh Carnahan. And you and then there's the first thing that we did after I became a millionaire on paper. Dane, what was that?
Well, is that when we were signing the contract on the dues and half? Or do you mean when we went and we got a salad?
Went to Brahms. No, I had a burger. I was eating a burger.
Yeah. Well, that's right. Yeah. That was hilarious. But we did do a whole salad kick for a while because all of a sudden we're like, we need to feel better.
And you know what? This is a good example of me changing my values. So back in the day, probably when I was younger and had a better metabolism, I didn't really care about food at all. And so as long as I ate something that kept me alive, then I'm going to spend all my money on something else. And $5, and this is in 2018, 2019, 2020, 2021, $22. $5 for a bag of burritos. It was like $5 for a burrito, like a burger and fries at McDonald's. And this place is like stuck in the 80s for some reason. So bagel burgers was huge. That's a good value to me. Even though now I'm a health conscious oriented person, I did not care back then. And my values would have lined up with my spending. I don't care. I'd rather buy, like you said, I'd rather go buy a cool old revolver that's, you know, antique or has a cool story over spending money on food. I'd rather eat a bag of burgers for $5 and have two burgers then and two burgers, you know, the next day for $5.
Yeah.
Than go spend the money on something that I'm never going to remember, you know, later. I'd rather have the revolver.
But again, it's because you know your values, right? So we will always justify spending money on something, even if it seems like a complete waste to other people. And that's why I'm saying, like, you were known as being cheap, but then you would spend money, good money, on other things that you valued. And we had to differentiate that in our own lives. Again, we're just in different phases in life. I am married. I do have a 15-year-old son. My values are very wrapped around them and now how I spend money around them, as opposed to when I was a single person, night and day different. So,
and now I'm about to get married and we're looking at having children. And so the health, you know, definitely moving into my 30s, closer to 35 now, that's definitely guiding some of it. But with that, we're going to go back to the very beginning of this podcast. If you are looking to start your money journey and you do not know where to start, we've already given you three things and we're going to put those things in plain day for you. Step one is track your budget. Just track, not track your budget, track your spending. Get a free app, right? I recommend Empower. I've used them before for now, right? Maybe I change that in the future, but connect all your accounts and let it and just live, right? That's number one. Number two, and this is the most important, and that's what we've spent most of this podcast talking about, is decide what kind of life you want and decide what values you have. If your values, like, do you love to travel? That's great, right? Do you want to be a foodie? Do you want to be a chef? Do you want to buy a house someday? My value is I identify with someone who's going to buy a house. You need to start thinking that way. Or, you know, I will become the type of person that runs marathons, right? You start thinking that way. Those two things, track where you're currently spending money. Don't even do anything about it. I don't even care, right? Just don't do nothing, but track it. And then start thinking about you and what you want out of your life. Or if you have a spouse, I highly recommend them. Or if you live in Utah, you got like five spouses, then you can get everybody involved.
Guilty. So,
and then the last one is actually create a budget, which we haven't even, you know, we're barely scratching the surface of. But I actually have an alternate to creating a budget, Dane. Do we want to even get into that podcast or do we want to save it?
It sounds like a good conversation. So I would say stick with the topic of, hey, budget is next in the evolution of what we're talking about. And I think that's a great next episode because we can talk about strategies on how we budget individually because, again, very different how we do it.
And just so you guys are aware, I'm a super lazy piece of human garbage and I'm going to structure things to be the path of least resistance. If I have to think about it, constantly, it's going to fail. So these tools, right, do that. I remember when I first started budgeting, I would do my tracking and I'd try to use Excel because that's what I knew. And that was a nightmare because then I would forget and then I update it and I'm spending hours a day looking at a spreadsheet. These tools now are awesome. I mean, they didn't really
expect. Yeah. Well, and they integrate into, no, they did not actually. And so they integrate right into things. A lot of people we follow now are autopreneurs. They put everything on autopilot. And so we're going to share some of those benefits of maybe looking at doing it that way. And truly, like you said, some people still write that down. I know people who do amazing right. with paper budgets and they are on some top of that. Their finances. It's a really simplified version of a lot of this fancy stuff, but I'm telling you, they have done incredibly well financially managing it that way. So
yeah,
to your point,
you find what works for
that
you.
Is a way. Yeah.
Yeah. If again, you know, I think, I don't know. There are definitely analysts, people, tech nerds that would love to do budgets. That's all they do. Right. That's what they do for their day job. More power to you, but find something that works. I knew for me, I am lazy. I'm not going to look, I'm not going to go through, I will spend an hour or 2 hours setting something up once. If I don't have to think about it ever again, or I have to think about it very rarely. So that's why I used whatever the tools are. So step one, there's that. But the value thing, so many people, I mean, Dane, what's your experience with just, like you said, if there's money in it, you spend it. How many people do you know that actually think about like where they're going in life and why?
Not only where they're going in life, but like you said, what they value spending money on. It's not something I consciously ever thought about most of the phases in my life until I realized like I wanted to live a certain way, right? And not just mean, oh, I just want to live free financially and spend it however I want and not have any structure or framework. It changed for me when I learned my lesson the hard way, probably a dozen times. It was like, okay, I need to change. There's a lot I'm missing out on. And it's because of my behavior, my habits, and my beliefs about money, finances, lifestyle, whatever that is. No one stops for long enough and hits pause and says, what are my values? I love that we touched on that. That wasn't even intentional when we first started this episode. But Hugh, you nailed it. Until values are aligned with budget, it will not stick. It will not matter. And then you're just floating around. No one wants to be a floater. You flush that guy.
Speaking of, let's talk values. And this is TMI, but you know, Nicole and I have a, if it's yellow, let it mellow. If it's brown, flush it down mentality. We're talking about the toilet and we're on a well, like we don't even pay for water here, but that's still a value thing that we have. And we get along well. So
you guys were meant for each other.
That's awesome. No, but you know, it's funny. It all comes back to the why. Why are you doing anything? And so many people, I'm not going to say they're thoughtless in what they do, but they're thoughtless in that they've never thought about it.
Yeah.
Especially in the United States, we're just like in the Western cultures. It's like, well, you know, you say you love spending time with your kids and then you guys veg out on the TV all night. Or you say you're the type of person that wants to build your own RV, you know, solar powered RV to go vacation and you spend all your money on, I don't know. Painting figurines or something, whatever it is, like there's a whole bunch that's there. So it's just being thoughtful, right?
Yeah. Thoughtful is the first step and really understanding again, what do you value? I think that's just a great place for people to start. And then you get into what tools do I use? What budgets are out there? What strategies behind budgeting? And then there's some pretty like great strategy that's very straightforward in that way. So next episode.
Next episode, we're going to actually talk about budgeting. This episode, we're just talking about the step one, right? Listen, if you listen to this, you never listen to another episode of ours ever. And you spend, this probably takes like less than 30 minutes to set up. Set up an Empower account, download it, whatever, connect all your stuff, and then you never hear from us again. Just every once in a while, look at that thing and see if it aligns with your values. And even if you don't know what your values are, like when I was 22, who knows what I thought, right? And then now when I was 27, who knows what I thought then? And now I'm, you know, 33, who knows what I thought then? My values are constantly changing, but at least I have a track of it. And so I can kind of see what, if I want to change or something and pivot, like I've got a a map. So like that's
critical. But you'll know why. And I also think what's not being said is once you identify those, you're going to start naturally looking up content that is related to those values and how other people did it. And that's what's really cool. You'll start reading the right books. You won't just be reading any book. You'll be reading the ones that match up with where you want to go and how you want to live your own life. And there's so much content in every area. There's a plethora of really great, you know, depending on who you are and how you want to live. And then you're just like, then you're just sifting out the noise. And you're like, that aligns exactly. I want to live really slow. I'm surrounded, by the way, by mega entrepreneurs and super hustlers and really successful people. And a lot of times I'm like, wow, I
want to live in
you're welcome. And in all honesty, I'm the polar opposite than a lot of the people that are in my immediate friend group and surrounding. I want to slow down. I want to live in a simple country house with land. And so my values were different, but I had to be real because I was trying to jump on the bandwagon and jump on the train and follow who I believe all these incredibly successful people around me. And I felt disconnected from myself, and it got me into some hot water too, quite honestly. And so once I realigned with what I wanted, it helped me eliminate the noise and distraction and set me on the right course.
Yeah. So if we go back, you know, just 6 months or a year, you definitely were probably more in the, in the scale, you know, grow entrepreneur. And you're right. There's a lot of us in your immediate friend group that are that way. And I don't know that it necessarily bit you at all, but there were, you know, unrelated to anything that we did, the market changed and it changed extremely quickly. And it kind of spooked a whole bunch of people. A lot of our friends ended up upside down. Mm-hmm. And it was like, it was not a 2008 recession. It was like a mini wake up call.
And yeah.
It made me feel good on the path we were going down because debt is very dangerous if you get the wrong kind of debt. But it's also very helpful if you get the right kinds of debt. So you know, we're going to talk about all of that. But yeah. All right, Dane, before we sign off, what is one book? And you can it can be the same book as before. It can be a different book. What is one book, if you are brand new starting out, you don't know anything, that you would recommend, you know, someone start off with?
For me, this one's a classic, but it's The Secrets of a Millionaire Mind. It will help you really define those values and help you start making declarations in your life of where you're going, where you want to be, and how you're going to get there. And it will help you shape your own framework as opposed to, like I said, just so much noise out in the world. And so that one's still one of my top two, which I love. Secrets of a Millionaire Mind by T. Harv Eker. Awesome, awesome book. How about you?
Man, for me, you know, people are going to get super annoyed by this, but I don't care because hopefully a new person learns about this and then they, anyways, people that are financially independent, they'll forgive me for this. But for me, it's going to be Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. And it's written for this from the perspective of a 10-year-old, a fifth grader. And they're just like, it just explains things. And the tagline of the book is what the rich teach their kids that the poor and middle class don't. And it just, that was the first book that really changed the way I saw the world. And then all the other books then made sense. But had I read all the other books first, you know, I would have got it. But that was the one book to be like, I now understand. I internally.
Well, and you're not wrong. It's a powerful catalyst for 95% of people who even got into the real estate or investing game and thinking differently. So you're exactly right. And I would say, funny enough, as we move into our next episode, it's probably the first time I've been excited about talking about budgets. So stay tuned. That's where we're going to go. And
what is the one takeaway from this episode that a viewer should have? Okay, what is an action item?
Define your values. That one stuck out to me huge. I, like I said, wasn't thinking about it when we started the episode, but when you brought it up, it makes perfect sense. And I could not agree with you more. It changed my entire life once I understood that part, that piece of the puzzle. So awesome. How about, what are you thinking?
For me, it is just track your budget. You don't even have to do a damn thing. Don't worry about budgeting. Sorry, I said track your budget again. Just track your spending. Don't change anything about your life. Just track it. You should know where every dollar goes, right? Every Amazon subscription, every whatever. All these tools will do it for you. Hey, you had X amount in gas, X amount in this, X amount in that. Like it's the lazy way to do it, and it's the one thing I would do.
Awesome.
All right, guys. Whoa. We'll see you next time.
All right, Hugh. Have a good one.